Islamic Center of North Hollywood, and we have a guest with us tonight, Sheikh Yusuf Estes. We announced it last week and on Friday as well, and the brothers posted on the website. Some of you might have been disappointed last Thursday when I came and spoke, but alhamdulillah, we made it up to everyone, inshallah. So we ask Allah Azza wa Jal to bless this event and to make it beneficial for all of us, to benefit us from what we hear, and to grant us beneficial knowledge and righteous actions, and to gather us as He gathered us here today in the highest gardens of paradise, in Al-Firdaws Al-A'la, with all of those that we love, for His sake. Just, we're going to start with some verses from the Qur'an, inshallah, and then we will translate the meanings, and then the Shaykh will kick it off, inshallah. He's planning to broadcast this live, inshallah, on the new satellite TV station, Guide US TV. He spoke about it last time, a couple of weeks ago, when he came for Jumu'ah. And we've been talking about it. It's been on the air for about a year now, alhamdulillah. Many people are coming to Islam. The goal behind it is to present Islam in simple English terms to the public in North America, in particular, and all over the world. Whoever has internet access, they can access the channel on the website, guideus.tv. And if you have satellite, so far we are on 3 different satellites. So you can access it if you have satellite TV at home, or you can access it through the website, inshallah ta'ala. Sheikh Yusuf, some of you might know something about him, some might not. Allah blessed him to embrace Islam about 20 years ago in 91. And he used to be a music minister and a businessman. He's originally from Texas. Currently, he's in Washington, D.C., or close by in Virginia. And alhamdulillah, since he embraced Islam, he's been trying to share the message of Islam with people in the language that he knows. And he's sharing it with the people that he knows as well. So, of course, some of you might have been aware of the website that he has, shareislam.com. Of course, he's got a variety of websites. Came online on the World Wide Web in the late 90s when there was not much Islamic presence on the World Wide Web. But alhamdulillah, he started there, and he's got over 2,000 websites currently. But the main project right now that we're concentrating our efforts on, and we're trying to market and let people know about, is the TV station, Guide US TV. So we'll start with some verses from the Quran. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون واعتصموا بحبل الله جميعا ولا تفرقوا واذكروا نعمة الله عليكم إذ كنتم أعداء فألف بين قلوبكم فأصبحتم بنعمته إخوانا وكنتم على شفا حفرة من النار فأنقذكم منها كذلك يبين الله لكم آياته لعلكم تهتدون ولتكن منكم أمة يدعون إلى الخير ويأمرون بالمعروف وينهون عن المنكر وأولئك هم المفلحون ولا تكونوا كالذين تفرقوا واختلفوا من بعد ما جاءهم البينات وأولئك لهم عذاب عظيم يوم تبيض وجوه وتسود وجوه فأما الذين اسودت وجوههم أكفرتم بعد إيمانكم فذوقوا العذاب بما كنتم تكفرون
أما الذين بيضت وجوههم ففي رحمة الله هم فيها خالدون تلك آيات الله نتلوها عليك بالحق وما الله يريد ظلما للعالمين ولله ما في السماوات وما في الأرض وإلى الله ترجع الأمور كنتم خير أمة أخرجت للناس تأمرون بالمعروف وتنهون عن المنكر وتؤمنون بالله ولو آمن أهل الكتاب لكان خيرا لهم منهم المؤمنون وأكثرهم الفاسقون.
We can request, inshallah, this door, we don't want it to open during the program.
Yeah. Can we lock it?
Yes, that's right.
Yes,
we
can. Just they're organizing the whole thing. Just wait.
Yeah,
for me
I'll lock it.
But they're not done. They're just setting up some stuff.
Yeah, you can have a few more minutes, inshallah.
Yeah, go ahead. As soon as we start broadcasting, it needs to be on. Okay. All right.
Did anyone understand what I said when I was reciting? He understood it.
I'm the one who picked it.
He chose.
This is very important because of the reference it has to the Dawah and also to who is the best people and who are those who among Jews and Christians also. Did you read all the way down in the message? Did you go all the way to the end?
No,
yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Karahum and Fasik.
Yes.
Well,
what title was advertised on the website? Who knows the title of the program? We were supposed to start at 8 o'clock, so we're 5 minutes early. So we're on time.
No, he said
what
title.
What title?
Not time.
For this program. What was the title?
The name.
Where's the webmaster?
Well, I don't think so there was any title. We just said
open house.
Open house. Okay.
And everybody was invited, and we said Isha time is 7:30, and you know.
Perfect.
But there was no title, so
okay.
Inshallah, whatever you
we
decide.
We can do what we want to do.
You can do what you want to do. Well, basically, last week, some of the brothers made a request that the program be titled The Importance of Da'wah, or Da'wah in the U.S. or in America. And for those who don't know what the word da'wah means, it means to invite, to share something special with someone that you care about. So the title that we put on our website, on Islam Newsroom, to advertise for this event was Share Islam in the USA. Or Share Islam in the US. And the meanings of the verses of what I just recited is Allah Azza wa Jal is addressing those who believe. And He says, O you who believe, be conscious of Allah as He deserves for you to be conscious of Him. Have taqwa of Allah. And that's a huge term that we constantly remind each other about, which is to do what Allah commands and to stay away from what He forbids. And by doing so, we put a shield and a separation between ourselves and His punishment. And then He says, and do not die except in a state of submission as Muslims. And hold on tight to the rope of Allah, all of you together. And do not separate, do not divide. And remember the favor of Allah upon you. How you were enemies, but He brought your hearts close to each other. And you became, through the bounty of Allah, brothers. And you were
right at the tip of the fire, but he saved you from it. Indeed, this is the way Allah clarifies for you his signs in order for you to be guided. And then he encourages the believers and he says, let there be amongst you a group.
I need to be plugged in right away.
A group that invites to goodness. They command what is good.
By the way, don't do that again.
Or a big term, which is al-ma'ruf.
This is the connection to London.
And they forbid evil. And those are the successful. And don't be like those who separated and they differentiated after guidance and knowledge came to them. Indeed, for those is a great punishment. On a day where some faces will be illuminated and others will be darkened. As for those that whose faces will be darkened, a question will be posed to them. You have disbelieved after your faith and after believing. So taste the punishment due to your disbelief and your rejection of truth. And as for those whose faces have been illuminated, they are in the mercy of Allah. And they will be there forever, eternally.
Yes.
These are the verses and the signs of Allah that are recited upon you, O Muhammad, with truth. And Allah does not wish any wrongdoing or oppression to the universe and to the creation. Indeed, to Allah belongs whatever is in the heavens and whatever is in the earth, and everything will return to Allah. All affairs will return to Him. Then Allah says, you have been the best of nations that were raised up for the benefit of humanity. That's because you command al-ma'ruf and you forbid al-munkar and you believe in Allah. And I'll leave these words out because he likes to translate them. And if the people of the book had believed, it would have been better for them. Some of them are believers, but most of them have sinned and wronged themselves. So that's a brief translation of the meanings. And I will leave the rest to our speaker, if he wishes to speak. He's going to make a phone call first.
Yeah.
But we'll leave him alone. Inshallah.
No.
Do we have any guests here?
Yeah, any guests, anybody? Is
who don't usually come to this place. MashaAllah.
You're most welcome. Welcome, guys.
Good to have everybody.
How many of you watch Guy's TV? MashaAllah, quite a few. Very good.
So you have some fans.
Yeah, this is... Hello?
Okay, alhamdulillah. Do we have any of our non-Muslim neighbors with us tonight? No, everyone here has already decided to be Muslim.
Some are still borderline. I didn't want to hear that.
What channel is it on?
It's actually, you can get it on the internet and you can get it on satellite if you have it pointed to that direction. Whatever. You have to have the kind of satellite and receiver for broadcast.
Yeah, I have.
So what's the channel?
Channel 99.
World TV?
Allah's names. World TV 99, Galaxy 19, Galaxy 25. Or you can just go on there and type in a word, guide us, and it'll come up. And this sort of thing. If you can figure it out that easy. It's not a very good website, actually. That's not mine, that's theirs. Assalamu alaikum. How you doing?
How many fasted Ashura on Tuesday? Alhamdulillah, may Allah accept and reward you.
Why only one day? Could we fast 2 days?
Well, we said either one day or a couple of days. Well, Tuesday, it was on Tuesday.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah. Please turn your phone on. Please, 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 please.
So alhamdulillah, inshallah, we're all having a fresh start.
On, okay?
May Allah accept from everyone.
Here. Okay.
We know the reward for it was
the
minor sins of the past year were forgiven by the will of Allah.
My hot spot, and this thing will
so may Allah allow us to obey
why.
Him for the remainder of our lives and to take advantage of the opportunities that He gives us to seek His forgiveness and to return to Him and to always start
my laptop
fresh.
Will not, the browser will not open.
Yes, sir.
Okay, we'll get the browser in my mind.
Internet?
Also, you my do? VNC stuff working too.
Wireless. Just give us the code if you have wireless. Okay. We have wireless, he says.
No, sir. No, sir. No, sir. Thank you. No,
I used to come to this message a long time ago. So I wasn't aware that there is wireless.
Obviously.
We have so much behind.
Okay, what's the wireless here?
It's coming. The code is coming.
What's the name of it?
What's the name? Where's our webmaster? You don't?
It's a... It's the neighbor's wireless.
So we're going to get it from the neighbor's house.
It's a neighbor's wireless.
It's on site, so it's not exactly neighbor, but the system will hear
it. It's a Muslim neighbor, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
More like
it's an in house neighbor.
In house tenant.
I refreshed everything. I turned it on. Let me see. I'm going to turn it off again. Let's see if I can do that.
The youngsters hear about
all
the
you need for me to do, though, is to get access so we can do.
The chef is organizing a Quran contest.
I know.
To be aired on Guide Us TV.
Tell you.
So the idea is that youngsters from the age of 4 to 17 or 3 to 17 are encouraged to record themselves reciting the Quran video on camcorder.
It's acting stupid.
Of course, they can't do that on their own, so they have to ask for assistance from their parents.
Itself is
they have to have their parents'
now.
Permission. And then when that happens, they record it and they upload it on our website. One of the websites is called Tube Islam. That has a lot of nice programs and it's clean. It doesn't have any of the bad stuff that you find in other types
of he's finished
these videos. So you upload that and then they will enter into a contest. And the winners of this contest, basically the recitation, will be judged by qualified judges. And then the winner, inshallah, everyone is a winner. Whoever takes place in the contest is a winner, inshallah, because the best of you, as the messenger said, are those who learn the Quran and those who teach
it.
So any effort that has to do with recitation of the Quran is a blessed effort. So everyone will be winners, inshallah, with Allah.
We should have
but everybody will be a winner also in this contest.
Is not right.
But the top performer or the top performance, that family, inshallah, will get the grand prize of traveling to the ICNA Mass Conference in Chicago right before Christmas. So basically it's in a few weeks. So you have to hurry up. So if we have youth here, you should encourage your parents to record you
like me to make
while you recite the Quran. Choose any chapter that you wish.
And I'm trying to do that.
What's the name of the place?
I started it up again.
The wireless name.
What's the wireless name? Because this phone is acting up.
Anyway, so that's the Quran contest, inshallah. So we encourage all the youth here to take part in it. Just try it. There's nothing to lose, inshallah. Just spending some time in front of a camera, then uploading your video on tubeislam.com, and then inshallah will be judged, and then the grand winner will be flown into the ICNA conference, ICNA Mass Conference, inshallah, Christmas weekend. Yes?
How many videos can I upload?
As many as you like, but they're only going to take the last one you upload.
Last
upload. So like if you make one, you say, I want to do better, you can keep uploading all you want.
Inter turbine.
Which one is it?
Inter turbine.
Inter turbine, do you know where the password is?
Yeah.
Hold on, let me try that. Capital? See if I got it right. We're trying a different mouse.
Okay, so it should be small letter.
Let me see what this does.
No.
All right, so we're gonna have to use Skype now. I was just gonna call him and use his. Okay, we're on to that one. We'll use this for backup over here.
Yes.
Okay. We've got backup now. There it goes. This is my own. Okay, I'm going to open up Skype. Do I need Skype or should I use regular broadcast? I'm in the Wirecast.
Okay.
I have to. Yes, sir. Right this second. Ready. Did you call London?
We're just waiting to get on the air.
Yes, please. Please.
Wondering what's taking so long. You're going to be on satellite TV. Inshallah.
I'm not sending yet. I'm waiting for you to call London. Okay, now I'm sending you. Please call now. Please call now. It is
okay,
connected.
So come on, we were discussing last week the virtue of Ashura, the 10th day of the sacred month, Al-Muharram. We spoke about it Thursday, and then there was a reminder on Friday, the khutbah. The virtue of it, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that I ask Allah to forgive the sins of the past year. For, this would be the reward for fasting this one day. So you fast one day, and Allah forgives you your minor sins for a full year that has passed.
We're ready to go.
So that was the virtue of it. And we spoke about that day. The day, of course, is the day where Allah gave the safe passage and victory to Musa, peace be upon him, alayhi salam, and his followers, the Muslims.
All phones have to be off, please.
And
all phones
he drowned must
be
and
mine.
Destroyed Pharaoh, Fir'aun.
Assalamu alaikum, Kareem, please, don't call this phone. This is the data phone. I can't talk to you because I can't hear you.
So that's a good
right
reminder.
Now.
Everyone who has a cell phone, turn it off. So we don't get any interruptions. That was good.
That
it was the speaker's cell phone. So
Kareem, I was
no problem.
I had to turn on you, man. Did you hear what I said? Can you call him for me when you get
that's
down?
The virtue of fasting the day of Ashura.
The data line.
And that happened to be earlier in the week, Tuesday, and we said it's praiseworthy to
you
fast the day before it,
are they getting
as the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam encouraged us to do. So we said fast Monday and Tuesday. So we ask Allah to reward everyone who fasted and to forgive all of our sins, whether we fasted the day or not. Allah is generous. We have
there?
To ask
they got a picture
Him
got
to forgive
sound.
Us
yes
constantly.
Or no.
It's
not complicated. Okay, let's go. Push the button. You got the control, you got
you
the
guys, was anyone here the first time we brought Sheikh Yusuf? About 5 years ago to this masjid, he gave a khutbah? 5 years ago. You're a baby, man. Binyamin is 7 years old. He's like, I remember that. How old are you, Binyamin?
I apologize, but I cannot.
10, okay, so he was 5 years old. Maybe if you were around, you would.
He's
smart,
man.
Okay, 4, 3.
4, 2, 3, 1.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu salam ala rasulullah, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in, ashhadu la ilaha illallah, ashhadu muhammadin abduhu wa rasul. You're watching a live broadcast coming to you from North Hollywood, California. This is Yusuf Estes with Guidance TV. The program that we have tonight is on the subject of sharing the message of Islam. And for those of you who have just tuned in and you don't know what, maybe you've never been on Guidance TV before, I have to tell you to be very careful. This is a very dangerous channel that you're watching right now because there are Muslims present. Be very careful. Watch yourself. And Muslims. As long as they don't call us Mavloom. Yes, we are live. We're in a mosque here in North Hollywood. This is where all the movie stars that are Muslims go and hide out. And we've got all the top folks are here. Big celebrities are here right now. So, they're disguised as regular people of the street. Alhamdulillah. You don't believe me? Oh, okay. I understand that. Here you go. Then you can see for yourself. See? They're disguised. Ordinary disguise. Like you like that? Which one is Johnny Depp?
This one.
This one.
Alhamdulillah.
We were requested to speak on the subject of da'wah and what is da'wah. And first of all, we find that this word da'wah is often misunderstood, and people think it's like propagation. Or it is, almost like trying to force people to come to your religion. It's nothing of the kind. As was already mentioned before we went live,
the idea behind this is to call people to something that you want to share, that's something that you like the people, you want them to have what you have, such as a good meal, you want to share a meal. You have a nice event taking place, you want to share and bring people together for it. And this is what da'wah actually means, is to call, literally to call, because this is something that we do as Muslims 24 hours a day. We're making du'a, calling upon Almighty God, and this is from the same root. And it means for us to make this supplication, this calling upon the Almighty, or calling the people to come to something good. And this is why we call it da'wah. It's mentioned in the Quran with the same word, and it is something that is a part and parcel of being Muslim. But for those of you that just tuned in and you really don't know about Islam, I do want to tell you this, and I like to say this, I don't care if I say it a million times. The word Islam has a real meaning. It is the only word in the entire Quran that's never translated to English language. I've never seen it translated in any of the English translations of the Quran. Have you? I never have. So it's important for us to tell you that it does have a meaning. It is not just the name of a religion. It comes from that action or verb in the Arabic language, aslama, aslama. It means to surrender, submit, to obey, to be in a position almost like a slave, to be sincere, committed, and in peace, no matter what happens. All of these meanings are there, along with a holistic kind of a meaning as far as the security and so many things that you find with this word, aslama. So when it comes into the English, we don't have a translation for it. That's why maybe nobody wants to try to translate it. It's too big to put every time you're going to say Islam and you substitute all of that for it, so they just leave it as Islam. The word Muslim comes from the word Islam, and the word Muslim, it means the one who does the action, because in English we use a suffix, that means at the end of the word, to denote the one who does the action. You have the action of walk. Somebody's walking, he becomes a walker. If somebody talks, they're a talker. And so in Arabia, what they do is use a prefix instead of a suffix, and it's the letter meem, and it's pronounced mu. And so anybody that does the action, for instance, when they call the adhan, they become a mu'adhan. And if they travel, the word is safar, they become a musafar. And if they do salah, they become musalli. And you can go down the list, you start getting the idea. So if anybody does aslama, he becomes a muslima. And if it's a female, muslima. Got it? Now don't you feel educated? I learned a few words tonight. I learned the wooden table. Alhamdulillah. What's the word for wood?
Khashab.
And the word for table?
Tawila.
Tawila. Tawila khashab. Wooden table. And you don't know. Maybe tomorrow you're going to need those words. Who knows? You'll be somewhere, people don't speak Arabic, and you have to say, I want a wooden table. Well, read it up. Tawila khashiba. Ah. Yeah, I feel important all of a sudden, you know. But so we come back to these words, Islam, Muslim, and we find that this actually is it has a nice connotation if you stop and think about it. Let us put aside the media interpretation of what Muslims are about, and let's just consider the word. Yeah. If anybody believes in God at all, and they said, well, this person wants to believe in God, all right, what's wrong with that? And they want to do what God wants them to do on His terms, obeying Him, being sincere, being at peace, and that's before we get into the human side. We're talking about the relationship with God. Wait till you hear what comes next. You're still there? Okay, well, this is what comes next. Once you've established this relationship I just described between yourself and Almighty God, comes the relationship between you and the people. Because it's not considered that the Islam of the person is any good if his relationship with the people isn't any good. So he can't say, well, I don't care if the people don't like me, God likes me. It doesn't work like that.
whoever doesn't thank the people, this is Hadith of Rasulullah Islam, or Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, said, whoever doesn't thank the people doesn't thank Allah. What is the relationship with the people? He is not a believer. This is what the Prophet ﷺ says, that he is not a mu'min, not a believer, not one of us who fills his stomach at night, goes to sleep, while his neighbor's stomach remains empty. His neighbor's stomach is empty, he goes to sleep with a full stomach, bad news. So they asked the people around the Prophet, peace be upon him, they asked him, well, who's my neighbor? You know, I mean, how many of these people I got to worry about? 40 in any direction. 40 in any direction. So we find that we as Muslims are not keeping up our job very well at all. No wonder people don't look at us with a high respect and the dignity that's due to a true Muslim, because, hey, I'm sorry, but when was the last time you went to 40 houses? Are you hungry? You got any food? Hey guys, I got food. You want to share it? We didn't do that, did we? Nah. You didn't even go next door. Did you? Even if you had a backyard barbecue, you didn't even holler out, hey, come on over here. You know, at least do that, right? So this is important in Islam, is your relationship with the people. Now some people might say, well, yeah, you know, there are faiths. I know particular faith groups. They call each other brother and sister. And they consider that, you know, that they have to be good to each other, but not to anybody who's not of their faith. You're not with our group? Who cares? You're going to hell. This is not Islam at all. This is not Islam at all. In fact, the treatment to non-Muslims has to be within certain boundaries, or you could be in trouble on the Day of Judgment. Even if that person is going to go to hell, you'll still be in trouble anyway. Just because their relationship is bad with Almighty God doesn't give you the right to injure them, hurt them, or take away from them at all. People will have good deeds for themselves on the Day of Judgment, but they will lose them because of the way they mistreated people, even non-Muslims. Even if there's a bad person, listen to this. Even if there's a bad person in your community, maybe he drinks alcohol, maybe he says bad lies, maybe does stuff, you still can't say, well, because he's bad, I'm just going to go by his house and let the air out of his tires, or you know, throw his cat over the fence. Or, well, that's another story. You can't be bad to any animals. So, you know, you can't abuse the man or his property or anything. You can't. You can't use that as an excuse. So this is called haq, rights. The rights in Islam are very, very important. Now recently there's been a word that I've heard passed around called Islamophobia. Have you heard about that?
Yes.
Okay, do you know what phobia means?
Fear.
Afraid.
Fear.
Yeah, it is an unnatural fear of something, an unrealistic fear of something,
right.
Such as... And that's why I think it's appropriate, because if you know the meaning of it, how would you be afraid of somebody who's being ordered to be good? How can you be afraid of somebody that's supposed to be taking care of you? Somebody who's supposed to care about you more than they care about themselves. So, that's a phobia. Somebody who has a fear of flying is called acrophobia. Somebody that has a fear of water, especially if they have that disease, we call it rabies, it's called hydrophobia, because when they have it, they can't drink water. So they're called hydrophobic. And that's for real. But if somebody's afraid of spiders, they're arachnids, so it's called arachnophobia. But it's not a normal fear. I have a fear of spiders. If there's about this big and crawling up, they're going to bite me. But any kind of a spider, they just see them, they go into a panic, a tizzy, you know? And so that's arachnophobia. Now, when it comes to somebody being afraid of somebody just for being a Muslim, that's really strange. But I can understand how they got to that level, because before I came to Islam, there was already, and this is 20 years ago, there was already a fear building up about these people coming from the Middle East, that they are bombers, terrorists, kidnappers, hijackers. They don't believe in God. They worship a black box in the desert, kiss the ground 5 times a day. There's a lot of lies and, yeah, misunderstandings going around. Not like now where everybody tells the truth. I knew you'd catch that one in a minute. It's actually much worse today, isn't it? To the extent that they don't even bother, that these liars don't even bother anymore to try to come up with any, they just say statements as though they were true. And the very opposite of what Islam is about, the opposite of what Muslims represent, but they offer this as though it was an established fact. One of the recent things that I've heard in the last few years, somebody is saying that, well, I won't say that all the Muslims are terrorists, but all terrorists are Muslims.
Period.
Really? When did Hitler make Shahada? This is amazing. And all the kamikaze pilots, you know, this is what, today is the 8th? Yesterday was what? Pearl Harbor Day.
Yeah.
Pearl Harbor Day. That was like 70 years ago, I think.
Yeah, 42.
Yeah.
1942.
41. But who's counting? Anyway, 70 years ago yesterday, kamikaze pilots from Japan flew out all the way, imagine coming from Japan all the way to Hawaii, and not only did they drop their bombs on those ships, then they crashed their planes right into it and killed themselves. They were suicidal. Now, the story is that they loaded them up with that thing called sake. Have you heard of sake? It's rice wine.
Yeah.
Why did you go like
this? No,
you know?
I heard that.
You said that. This is what you meant in Cabo. You meant in Cabo. It means you're through drinking it. You, yeah, okay. You're off. Don't worry. Don't worry. Anyway, anyhow, so they said that these guys, they told them before they were young, they're very young pilots, in their teens even, can you imagine? And they told them that their parents and relatives would all be cared for real good, that they would be big heroes, they were going to their paradise or whatever. And then they load them up on some kind of drugs or sake wine and put them behind the... But now look at this. When they take off, the wheels of the plane drop off. They have a rope, a wire, something to it, that when they take off, the wheels stay on the ground. So they can't land anyway. And if any of them didn't get off far enough, they had a problem, they'd just crash and blow up. Because they would reuse the wheels on the next planes. Well, they didn't want to weight him down with wheels for two reasons. One, the weight, you know, on the plane uses up more fuel, right? And the other thing is, they knew he couldn't come back. You got to go do his job.
One-way trip.
They were called kamikaze pilots. Our brother said it was a one-way trip. So, I'm mentioning this in connection with Islam because this is the idea that people have about us as Muslims, that we're ready to do the same thing. We've been accused of drinking, which is very much against Islam. Of chasing after women, which is absolutely forbidden in Islam. There's huge punishment. No other religion is offering such a punishment for somebody who commits fornication. Physical punishment. For fornication. And subhanAllah, accusing us of that and accusing our Prophet of even worse. And yet this is against the things that they say are the opposite of Islam. Now there's two situations here though. One is that of course it makes it very difficult for those of us that are trying to like meld in and not do the dawah and just like sneak by. It gets really tough. It does. You know, if you'd like to just shave off your beard and like try to fit in, it's not going to work. But the other thing is, when the people, the general population, like me, find out the truth about Islam, then they go, wait a minute, you mean this was all lies? Because once you start investigating lies, and you find out, you know, this guy lied to me. This teacher lied to me. My preacher lied to me. My mother lied. My father lied. My grandparents lied. Then it becomes easier and easier to see through the lies of various religions and faith groups that are just saying stuff to make money or to get fame or both. So what we see as Muslims, very clearly, a lot of people coming to Islam in spite of the lies. Right here on this channel, we've had people call in and make shahada. We've had, yes, and even more who didn't call in but became Muslims in local areas and went into the local masjid. And in one case, just a few weeks ago, and maybe he's watching right now, I don't know, but in Denver, Colorado, a gentleman went into the mosque, because he lived there, and he said, I've been watching Guidus TV for the last 6 months, and I'm ready to be a Muslim. And Kareem Abu Zaid, who was just broadcasting live a few minutes ago, is the imam of that masjid. It was his office he went into. And he said, you're the guy on TV. Imagine this. So I think that we see what happens, even though it's very negative, it's very evil, but Allah can bring good out of whatever He wants. And the other side of the story, I'll go back to that, is just because you thought you could sneak in and not do the da'wah, it's not going to happen. Allah wants certain people to be guided. They will be guided, only you will not get rewarded. You could even get punished. So stop ignoring this subject. If you ignore Salat, you'll be a big loser on the Day of Judgment. If you ignore the Hajj, you'll be a loser. Zakat, fasting, all of these things are part and parcel of Islam, yes or no?
Yes.
And the call to Islam is exactly the same. The difference is, we don't list it as five pillars, make it six with the da'wah, because if you did the five, that would automatically be number six. Because you would then be an outstanding character in your neighborhood, in your community, and people would look to you and say, wow, I want to be like this guy when I grow up. Yeah? And that's exactly what happened to me. The person that I was trying to convert to Christianity became that idol, more or less, in my eyes of, look at this guy. How can he be so nice and good and kind? And he's telling me he's not any good. He said, in my religion, I'm not even considered that good. He said, I don't have my beard. And to a Christian, it's like, who cares? Or a lady who was not wearing hijab, and she met a guy, and she got him to do shahada. And she felt bad because she doesn't wear a hijab, and he's going, what the heck difference does that make? But after he gets into Islam, and he looks at her, and he's saying, stop for a law, lady. You see that? So the da'wah is to call, but how do you call people to use something that you don't use? And that's the problem, isn't it? And I think that we should focus very heavily on learning more about how we could be practical of what we learned. We have today a number of people who have memorized the Quran. This is called the Mus'haf, the book for the Muslims. Okay, it's in Arabic language, so if I open it up and show it to you, you're not going to recognize it unless you're an Arab. I don't think you're going to recognize anything on the pages. There are 604 pages in here of Arabic text that represent the revelation of God's actual speech, letter for letter. This is not just paraphrasing. This is the exact thing that was said to God's angel Jibril, and today we have more than 20 million people who have totally memorized it. And I found out yesterday, one of the big famous Quran teachers on the East Coast from Somali, Sheikh Adam, his own daughter memorized the entire Quran this past June. and she's 6 years old.
Oh.
Mashallah. God for her, inshallah, for him. Imagine that. 6 years old, complete Quran with ijazah. Hmm? In chain of narration all the way back, like a hadith, all the way back to Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Imagine. But he's from Somali. What's that got to do with anything? Well, just because you memorize the Quran doesn't mean you know what it really means and put it in your life. In Somali, the people are all of one tribe. It's not tribalism because they're all in one tribe. There's not two different schools of fiqh. They do not have matahab. They have only one matahab, which is one school of jurisprudence, one only. They are one tribe, one madhab, one community, one religion. That's 0% of any other religion. It's all Muslims. And the vast majority have memorized the Quran, and all of them have memorized at least large parts of the Quran, and yet it's the number one place in the world for people killing each other for no apparent reason. Of something which you read to us tonight, وَأَتَّسِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِعًا وَلَا تَفَرْقُوا. Hold fast to the rope of Allah and don't separate. But yet when you do that, فَرْقَقْتَ, and separate, this is when you will bring this big problem on you. So do your best not to separate into groups. If anybody asks you, what kind of Muslim are you? What will you say? Somebody says, what kind of Muslim are you? What do you tell them? What would you say?
Well, Quran and Sunnah.
Quran and Sunnah.
One Ummah. Just Muslim.
There's no types.
Well, they did that to me. Should I tell you what happened? They did this to me when I came back from Mexico one time. They got me in the interrogation. You know Random Lee? Yeah, he stopped me and we had a visit.
Random Lee? Randomly.
I want these two guys to travel with me. I need to back up. I love it. It's great. It plays right into the stuff. I love it. You're with your hand. You're with your
hand.
It'd be like the Three Musketeers or the Three Scoochers. I'm not sure which. But in any case. But when I came back and they took me aside, they did it without even asking me who I was or looking at my passport. Come on. Just like that. I'm like, huh? Yes. Now, I had taken the precaution to tuck in this thing into my pants, thinking that, you know, what I was just telling you about, that I'm going to get away with it. I'm just going to sneak in. I always wear it this way, but I said, no, I'm going to, you know, take it easy. I'm just sliding and go out the door. Hey, how y'all doing? Well, guess what? Didn't work. And we got in there and started asking all these questions. I'm going, why? I said, well, who did you see while you were there? I'm going, what the? No, just answer the questions. So what were you doing? I was down there for my health. Yeah. Okay, so, and they started naming people that I saw down there. I'm like, okay, that's nice. And I actually named one guy I didn't see, but I know him down there. I'm thinking, all right, now what's going on? Well, it turns out somebody had gone through the day before that was there with us and was giving them all this stuff and told them I was there. That's how, they told me how they found out, which they're not supposed to do, but they did. Anyway, at one point they said, okay, now the last thing is, what kind of Muslim are you? And they're writing all this stuff down. I go, what? So what kind of Muslim are you? I said, well, fat, but I'm trying to lose weight. I go, 250 pounds, what? They said, no, like, what kind of Muslim are you? Well, no, not about them. I said, oh, I'm old, but I can't do anything about that. He said, no, like, what type of Muslim? I said, ah, oh, be positive. What type? What? So, you know, finally I realized I'm going to miss my next flight if I don't hurry up and come up with something. So I said, I was a Christian Muslim. Said, what? As a Christian Muslim, you know, you get, don't you have in that book over there? Look, you've got Hebrewish Muslim, because he had the book. I know the book is for the military, somewhat. Tells you all the, yeah, they get 5 percenters. Have you heard of 5 percenters? That started in New York, I think Brooklyn area, 5 percenters. How many of you heard of 5 percenters? Yeah. You ever wonder about the, you know, if a guy said he's a 5%, what about the other 95%? What, I mean, it's curious. Noble Drew Ali, the, what do they call it, Moorish Science Temple. That's another group of Muslims. Rastafarian Muslims. You heard about those guys? Yeah, this is before you ever get to the Shiites, Niites, Sufis, Lufis, you know. No, seriously, is all these groups, so many, but Hebrewish Muslims is there. So I threw him a curveball and said I was a Christian Muslim. He said, what's that? I said, well, I was a Christian, I became a Muslim. So he wrote something down and said, okay, you can go. So I started a new group. New Tariqa. MashaAllah. Anyway, alhamdulillah, the point behind what we're saying is that there are definitely a lot of groups out there, but it's not necessarily a good thing to be in a group, especially if it's isolating itself from everybody else. When these groups do that and they start telling you, don't pray behind this guy, don't read any books from this one, and I don't like that idea. I should be able to read what I want to read. I should be able to talk to who I want to talk to. And I shouldn't isolate myself. If I'm so religious, if I'm so good, yeah, shouldn't I be sharing that with other people? Huh? If you acknowledge that it's a bad world, right, and you think you're good, then what should you do? You should be out here trying to help, not isolating yourself. So I think that comes from Shaitan more than anything to divide us up, and it's much better for us to be good. So enough on that subject. So what we talked about in the beginning, we talked about the relationship with God. It has to be a perfected relationship, and the only way you can do that is to know what He wants you to do. And we already mentioned it briefly, but I'll say it again. It is to acknowledge there is only one God. Of course that Muhammad is the last and final messenger. But then to establish the 5 daily prayers, fast the month of Ramadan, pay the charity, the zakah, and make the pilgrimage once in the life when Allah makes a way for you to be able to do it. That is Islam. But it is not going to benefit anybody unless they mean it when they do it. So sincerity has to be there. And they have to be sincere with themselves, sincere with their Lord, and sincere with the Prophet. Peace be upon him, following him. Sincere with their parents, relatives, friends, business people, and the general public. It's a big job. It's not easy. There are difficulties that we incur. But after all, this life is only a test anyway. Finally, I'd like to end the program mentioning something that our Prophet, peace be upon him, told us. He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ad-dunya sijnu mu'min wa jannatu kafir. That the material world that we live in every day is a prison to a true believer. But it is the only paradise for a disbeliever. When a disbeliever dies, that's when they get the unbelievable hell. When the believer dies, that's when all of this, yeah, is like he's leaving a prison and he's going to a paradise. Our Prophet, peace be upon him, did not compare this dunya to hell. He did not. But nothing compares to that. Just as there's nothing compares to the paradise, there's nothing that compares to the hellfire. There isn't anything. If you said fire like the sun, you would be wrong. The fire of hell would extinguish the sun. The sun would seem cold by comparison. This is how horrible. Do not overestimate anything in this universe. Because no matter how big it looks to you, it's nothing to Allah. The paradise is beyond the most beautiful thing you can imagine. And it's hoped that all of us will be there, And this is why we gather together tonight. This is why we came to pray together. This is why we came to sit together. And even breaking bread together, eating together, I'm never going to forget that. Even that is more than just a material thing for us. All of that leads us to a better place. Because the believer is rewarded for everything he does if he does it according to the way Allah wants it done. And Allah has provided for us a complete and total way of life to live in this dunya. While we're here in this prison, we have been provided with a complete way to live and act and dress and eat and drink and relate to other people. All of it has been spelled out for us clearly. All we need to do is find out what it is and then try your best to do it. You already know you will not achieve perfection. That's not your goal. Your goal is not even to try to even get close to that. The goal is to know what to do when you don't achieve what you wanted to do. And in other words, what I'm saying, you made a mistake, you did something bad. The goal is to find out what happens when I do that wrong thing. And last little thought. For those of us, especially our Christians and our Jewish brothers in humanity watching right now, think about this. We all believe that Adam is the first person ever created. We all believe that Adam was created as a single soul, and from him came his wife, and from these two, many men and women, tribes and nations came forth from them. And Allah made us different to recognize each other. The test that came to Adam was not whether or not he would eat pork. Jews and Muslims don't eat pork. It was not a test for him whether or not he's going to kill somebody, like happened to his son. One son killed the other. The test wasn't about stealing. The test was only about one thing. Don't eat fruit from that tree. Enjoy the paradise. He was in the lowest level of paradise. Enjoy the paradise. Anything you want, except don't eat the fruit of that tree. Eventually, temptation, and then he ate it. So, that is the best lesson for us to look at today when we say, well, I don't get it. Have you heard people say, I don't get it? Why does a woman have to wear a hijab? I don't get it. Why do I have to have a beard? I don't get it. Why do I have to pray 5 times a day? I don't get it. Show me some scientific reason why I should pray 5 times a day. Show me a scientific reason why I should give up food and drink. Show me. Adam didn't do that. I can give you a million reasons to think about why should Adam not eat fruit? He's hungry, he wants to try it out. Why not? When the sign up said it's poison. Try it out. Allah don't want it for himself. Allah doesn't eat. He doesn't drink, right? So Allah created it. Enjoy it. And all of the things that we see, you can relate back to that one test. Did you know that? Why can't I eat it? Well, wait a minute. Before you talk about pork, before you talk about some of the other things that are haram for us to eat or drink, go back and look at this example. There was nothing mentioned about the why. It was just don't eat it. And when he ate it, he felt the remorse. He felt that he needed to repent. In some of the apocryphal books, books that are not a part of the Bible anymore that I read, it talks about Adam being so distraught after he was put out of the paradise that he wandered around trying to think of ways to get Allah to forgive him. But he even walked out into the ocean. It was really, really big. Now we know that in Islam he was really, really big. And it mentions even trying to pray to Allah. And listen to this. But when he puts his head on the ground, then he finds at least some relaxation for what he did. This is what we do, isn't it? This is what the prophets did. Fell on their faces. May Allah make it easy for us.
Amen.
Allah give us the hidayah.
Amen.
Allah give us the hidayah.
Amen.
Allah give us hidayah. Amen. And we say, Ihdina Sirat al-Mustaqim. Ihdina Sirat al-Mustaqim. And if you're watching the TV right now, just look right back up here Get Guided with Guided TV. We're happy that you were with us tonight. Those of you, inshallah, who are our guests here or online with us on the internet or watching us on satellite right now, if you'd like to know more about Islam, stay tuned right here on Guided TV, because we've got a lot of stuff coming up. And we've got a contest going on right now, so if you see the little children reciting in a few minutes, then you'll know what that's about. We are allowing them to call in and recite, and then they can make a video, put it on our website. We have some judges who are going to be looking over those in the next 24 hours. We're going to select from those. We're selecting from those, and we're going to put them in a special place so that you can vote on them. Then the winner will be awarded the trip to go to Chicago for the big, grand opportunity of recitation in the big contest, national contest. And inshallah, we hope that everybody will participate. We will make sure that everybody gets something for their efforts. So if you haven't done so already, there might be a few minutes left right now. If you can get out your camera, a video phone, or one of the laptops, something, and make a nice setting for your child and upload it really quick. Okay, you don't have a lot of time. The judges are going to start judging right now. But if we get it up in time, we'll make sure that it gets through. And when you do it, be sure that the sound is good and the image is good. That will count, how it looks and how it sounds. Don't let the microphone be further away than I am right now from this laptop that I'm talking into. That's right, this is not a camera, it's a laptop. And choose something short. Don't make it more than 2 minutes, because we just want to hear a sample. We don't need you to recite Bakr. Inshallah. Jazakumullah khair. And I'm going to turn it back over now to the brothers there. I hope, inshallah, that they're on. I forgot to verify that. I might have to sign this back in real quick. I forgot to check that. If he fell asleep, that's not his fault. Yeah, the live switch is still there. And yes. Okay, he's on. All right. So I'm going to wrap it up. Jazakumullah khair, and please make dua for us. If you want to support Guidus TV, all you have to do is go to our website, guidus.tv/donate, and it'll show you what to do online. Or if you're here with us tonight and you want to do something.